This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Honestly, if you're the Knicks, do you bring Harden in the city that never sleeps?
I like that strip of old girl.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
Started the NBA season.
Today's guests, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, CBS Sports NFL analyst Rich Gannon, 17-year NBA veteran Richard Jefferson, plus co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am wearing a very light blue sweater today, and it matches the color scheme of the show.
Sure does.
And that's me painting the word picture for those listening to the Rich Eisen Show on the radio. Good to see you over there, Chris.
Hey.
Brockman.
What's up, buddy?
I'm great. Mike Del Tufo's back, everybody.
Hey! How you doing, Rich?
Good to see you, Mikey.
Rich, it looks like the ocean when I'm out on the boat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The boat that's
wait,
still unnamed?
Yeah, sweater.
My
kind of
sweater is
ocean-y.
You know what? My sweater is Mike Del Tufo's ocean. How are you, TJ Jefferson? Good to see you over there.
Oh, it's great to be here, Rich. I got to be honest with you.
Well, I'm particularly excited. I know we just tightened your shot, but we did see the guest list that's up there. And the first name on our guest board today is a name we've been wanting to have on our guest board for quite some time.
Forever.
Quite some time. He's our blue whale. We've been wanting to get him, and today we're excited to have DK Metcalf on this program.
Is he our biggest like NFL man crush right now?
Oh, there's no question. Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no but from start to finish. We knew.
Hey, you. Hey,
we
you,
knew.
You.
We. I don't know how many more times we can just
you.
Reiterate and stress that we knew.
You.
We wanted him in all
you.
Of you.
Hey, you.
We wanted
you.
Him in all our fantasy leagues, and we got him.
We got him.
We got him in a couple, you know, one fantasy league was just like, what are you doing so early? What are you doing?
Oh, they couldn't believe
what
I took
doing?
Him so early.
What are we doing?
Come on.
And every single time, people are like, what'd you do taking him so early? And then they'd be like, we wanted him.
Yeah,
you didn't get him. We got him. And today we have him on the show. And Seattle's taking on a Washington football team, and that is a large and in charge Week 15 contest. Week 15 starts tonight. Rubber is beginning to meet the road, and the road is leading to the playoffs, or if you will, proverbially not taken. Tonight's game, the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders are hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. The Los Angeles Chargers are playing out of string. They are not going to make the playoffs this just in, to use the Berman phrase. They're not making the playoffs, but they've got three more games to go to prove they want to play for their coach. They want their coach to be there to get Justin Herbert, who is now in, after starting week two in an emergency fashion, is now entering week 15. This is the proverbial rookie wall, all right? This is the proverbial rookie wall when you got yourself 13 weeks of football. This is usually when you're getting ready for your bowl game. You got a nice month off, or your bowl game is your 13th game, right? So you got that going on for the Los Angeles Chargers, who would love nothing more than to stick a fork in the Las Vegas Raiders. Okay? Way back in the day, kids. This used to be San Diego and Oakland.
Let's take you back in time.
And by that, I mean about 4 years ago. This used to be San Diego and Oakland. And so these two teams don't like each other. This is at the bottom of the pile of Danian Tomlinson getting his ankle twisted and stuff like that. That's what this used to be. And, you know, obviously used to be much worse than that back in the day. So this is a big one. And the Las Vegas Raiders, who beat the New Orleans Saints in week two, if you remember that, the Las Vegas Raiders were the first team to make everybody nationally wonder if Breeze had it anymore. Okay. Then the Las Vegas Raiders went to New England, didn't fare very well, but how'd it work against the Buffalo Bills? Right? looked pretty good. Bills got a nice play from Josh Norman. Things weren't looking all too great for the Las Vegas Raiders. But then they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Huh. All right. Then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came in, didn't look too good. Cleveland Browns, not so good. Then they started winning some football games. And put themselves in a very nice position, sitting at 6-3. And ever since then, they've lost 3 of 4. And they could have lost 4 in a row coming into tonight's game if it wasn't for the magic, which is the way that it should be phrased, the magic of Greg Williams. If it wasn't for that magic, that sorcerer's magic. But the Raiders, remarkably, coming in tonight, have a tiebreak on the Cleveland Browns if they could actually put it on the Las Vegas table and cash it. I don't think that ticket's going to... That doesn't look like one of those tickets that gets cashed right now in Las Vegas. But in order to have a shot at it, thinking that the Browns have taken on a Giants team that needs it this weekend, and then the Browns taking on a Steelers team that's probably going to need it in Week 17, this is it. The 6-3 Raiders that looked like they were potentially playoff bound, that made me think that they could actually do it. Now at 7-6, tonight's the night. On a short week at home against the Chargers, this is where it looks like the Raiders can put their foot in the ground, win 3 in a row, go 10-6, hope for the best. Hope for the best. Would it be Cleveland Browns-like prior to this year for them to lose 2 of their final 3 and the Raiders win their last 3 games and there is an actual head-to-head tiebreak between the Raiders and the Browns for that 7th seed? Is that possible? Is it possible that the Miami Dolphins can come into this weekend in Week 15 and go into action this weekend against the New England Patriots, lose that one? The Vegas Raiders take care of business against Miami. That would be a big Week 16 game, and then Miami loses to Buffalo, and then suddenly they're out. Raiders are on top of them. They've got a tiebreak against the Browns and the Dolphins going into Week 17. These are the possibilities going down right now, entering tonight's game. You can sit here and think the Las Vegas Raiders are dead and buried. They blow out their defensive coordinator after not being able to stop a single thing Philip Rivers and the Colts threw at them. They do bring in an old hand in Rod Marinelli, so he would know how to get things tightened up in just a couple of days' time for tonight's game against the Los Angeles Chargers and win that one and get the mini bye against the Miami team that could come in with 2 straight losses if we lose to New England at home, which is possible. Don't forget, New England rose from the ashes against the Ravens. New England boat raced this Chargers team that we're seeing tonight. It would be the most 2020 thing for Belichick and the Patriots to go down and beat the Miami Dolphins. Belichick does very well in games against former assistants. So there is right now a roadmap. I just laid it out for you. It doesn't look very pretty, okay, for the Raiders. It doesn't look very probable. Certainly when you've got a Ravens team that is throwing their hat into the mix with Lamar Jackson looking the way that he looked, and they have very winnable games against Jacksonville and Cincinnati wrapped around a game against the Giants, who, as we know, can show up in a carriage or a pumpkin. We don't know. We'll see again Sunday night against the Browns on NBC. But entering tonight, this is the stage, rubber meeting the road for the Los Angeles Chargers going into Las Vegas. This is the rubber meeting the road for the Las Vegas Raiders. Their first season in Vegas, 7-6, once upon a time, 6-3. Can they win their final 3? In which they would be going against a mixture of teams, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Miami, and Cleveland. And they would have the tiebreak head-to-head against Miami and the tiebreak head-to-head against Cleveland because of that Week 8 16-6 win for the Raiders in Cleveland. They would have all of those going for them. The problem is they'd need to just be heads up with them. If there's another team in the mix If there's another team in the mix with a better conference record, that's a problem. Three-way ties you don't want if you're Las Vegas. You want head-to-head against Miami, and you want head-to-head against Cleveland. Can those chips fall, to use the Vegas term, in that manner? That's tonight. We will discuss what must be going through John Gruden's brain when it comes to his quarterback and Derek Carr, who has not played well over the last 4 weeks at all, with the exception of finding Darren Waller to the tune of 200 yards receiving in New Jersey against the Jets and making that beautiful throw to Henry Ruggs at the end. The gift. We'll talk about that with the man who became the MVP of this league in 2002 at age 37 with Gruden coaching him. That's Rich Gannon. Okay, Rich Gannon and the MVP of this league. Actually, he was going against Gruden in the Super Bowl as well. I mean, what a career for Rich Gannon, who is calling Colts and Texans on EBS later on this week. And as I mentioned, DK Metcalf will be joining us literally in 4 minutes' time. Richard Jefferson's co-hosting the Sports Illustrated Awards with Lindsey Vonn and Carrie Champion. I have your attention now, right? Notice I directed those comments to you, since you know Lindsey for many, many years, being friendly with her, and Carrie Champion, who we have here in studio.
And Richard, my cousin.
And Richard Jefferson. And tomorrow, another co-host of the Sports Illustrated Awards that are this weekend, Chad Ochocinco, will be on tomorrow's show. But today we've got Richard Jefferson. And I wonder how many times Richard Jefferson's desire to stay in a town to party created a problem for his team's scheduling plans.
I can answer that.
Travel plans. Probably 0.0?
Dying to know the answer.
I don't know. Let's find out. From R. Jeff. And then Michael Smith from Brother from Another will be joining us to take us to his show right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We've got a great poll question lined up. We'll get to that. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats. Hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. All right. RichEisenStore.com. Please go there and shop your head off. We'd greatly appreciate it. DK Metcalf's calling in shortly.
Oh, and it's Peter Farrelly's birthday.
Oh, so the poll question is going to be Bill Pullman's birthday.
It's Bill Pullman's birthday, and just, you know,
greatest movie president.
Greatest movie president.
He's Independence Day.
Of course, he's Independence Day. Got Michael Douglas from An American President. That he's great in that role. Morgan Freeman's been the president a few times. Kevin Kline was great.
How do you not go Harrison Ford?
Oh, that's right. Air Force One. You got it.
How do we not go
back my plane? Get off my plane.
How do you not go Harrison Ford? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're workshopping our poll question for the moment. As DK Metcalf will be calling in momentarily from Seattle, which is taking on the Washington football team. We're here on Sirius XM Channel 211. We're here on also the Mightier 1090, home of Clemson and Notre Dame. You can listen to Clemson and Notre Dame this very weekend on Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate here in Southern California, the Mightier 1090. Our poll question, it's Bill Pullman's birthday today, right? The actor who played the president in Independence Day.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who gave a very Al Pacino, Any Given Sunday type speech atop a UFO, right? So so we're going to go with who's the best. We got to workshop this. We can't just do this willy-nilly. Who's the best president if he's one of them, right? Yeah, another one has to be Harrison Ford from Air Force One.
Harrison Ford.
How about Jack Nicholson from
Mars Attacks?
You have Mars Attacks?
Terry Crews is in Idiocracy.
President Camacho.
What about the late, the actor just passed away, Tiny?
Tiny Lister, Zeus?
Wasn't he a president in the fifth?
Fifth Element?
Fifth Element?
Man, great pull. If that's
true. Was he the president?
Jamie Foxx has been the president.
All right, we got ways to go on.
Kevin Klein.
All right, we're on to something.
I have a football one too, but we can hit
very
later.
Good. Chris Brockman,
Rich Eisen.
When we were drafting for our fantasy league about 4 months ago.
Oh yeah.
And I could not make the draft. You were drafting for us.
Yep.
I gave you instructions that we had to get one player. I wanted you to get one player. I did not care where you took this player, but you had to come home with this player, correct?
Yeah, uh-huh,
that player correct, was yeah. Who was that player?
DK Metcalf.
Okay. Now then, whose 2020 season has been an absolute revelation where his play running down Buda Baker is not only player of the year, it's the meme of the year. Like we've got memes, correct? We got memes
correct.
Coming out.
We got memes everywhere.
Who's that individual?
That's DK Metcalf.
Okay, which individual leads all wide receivers in yards coming into week 15?
DK Metcalf.
Okay, who were we right about this entire time?
We've been right about DK Metcalf since the beginning.
And who has my 40-yard dash run been memed against more than any other human being on planet Earth, Chris? Who is it?
DK Metcalf.
Thank you very much. It happened at the combine when his 4.33 ran straight through me on the simulcam, and then NFL Network had me simulcammed against him when he tracked down Buda Baker. He's one of our favorites. We've been waiting for him to appear on this show, and that moment has arrived. From the Seattle Seahawks, DK Metcalf. How are you, DK?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better for talking to you. How's life for you, DK Metcalf? Happy birthday, by the way. Happy birthday. Belated.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Life is great. We're back winning, so that's always good. And I'm on a pretty good team, so we got a chance to do something special, go deep in the playoffs, and that's the exciting part.
What makes you tick, DK? What makes you tick?
I don't know. You got to catch me at a moment. It's hard to think of something right off the top of my head right now.
Okay, so this moment is not that moment, is what you're saying.
No, sir.
Okay.
We're good right now.
All right. So, because I just love, the first time I got to see you in person was when I was broadcasting the combine. Okay. And then you go through your combine and the NFL Network cameras catch you FaceTiming somebody and you were in tears. Who were you talking to at that point in time, DK? Who are those people?
I was talking to my mom.
What was going through your mind at that
my
point?
My mom back home.
What was going through your mind at that point for you?
It was just, a sigh of relief. She know how much I worked and how hard I worked. And, I didn't get to see her for 4 months because I was training for the combine. But, just to hear her say how proud of me she was, that just really made me tear up and, I was just ready to see my family, ready to get back home.
So if I was out of the booth and was equipped with the numbers, statistics, pictures, video from 2020, and I told you this is what you're going to do, what would that kid have said on that day, DK Metcalf?
If it's in God's will, then let it be done. I'm not going to say I planned for this season to go, how it was, but, what better timing and, what better chance to give God all the glory, from, sitting in the hospital bed, breaking my neck to, being one of the top receivers in the league right now. I'm just blessed to have this opportunity, blessed to be, a part of a team that's doing great on Sundays. And, let's just keep working and just keep rolling.
How has Russell helped you with your development personally, professionally, DK Metcalf? How has he helped?
He's mainly helped me, on and off the field. In my mind, him, Tyler, Demo, Dwayne Brown, Bobby. I kind of stick to them and take heed to everything that they say and try to mimic all of their off the field steps with recovery and talking about football and life and goals that we have. But my best conversations are on Thursdays. before practice talking to Bobby, you know, mainly about life, football, goals, you know, the all-pro seasons that he's had, the teams that won the Super Bowl and that went back-to-back. So it was just like the conversations with Bobby before practice are always the best.
So Bobby isn't Bobby Wagner, who is another person I adore. I just love his game, and I love what he's all about. That's a self-made man right there in Bobby Wagner. Can you just let me in a little bit on that conversation? Let all the 12s who are probably dying to be a fly on the wall of that conversation, what exactly are you going back and forth? How are you chopping it up with Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf?
It was one Thursday. We were looking out on the field, and he saw numbers like 29. You know, Earl Thomas wore that number.
Mm-hmm.
31. Cam Chancellor wore that number, and they're not retired yet, and they're great players. And Bobby told me, he was like, "When I take this jersey off, nobody else is going to wear it." So that's another goal that I had to, you know, put on my wall, put on my my goal board is. You know, when I leave the Seattle Seahawks, number 14 is going to be retired. And, you know, I go to practice, go to meetings, go into every game knowing that, all right, I got to retire this jersey by the time that I leave. So just the goals that we have in life and you know, on the football field.
So is there an actual goals board of DK Metcalf somewhere, like an actual tangible board, or is this just something for mentally you're doing? Is there an actual board, DK?
Oh no, I got a goals board in my house.
What does it look like? Is it like a grease board? What is it? What is a goals board in your house look like?
It's a regular whiteboard that I just
okay.
I wrote a couple of 2020 goals on, life goals, football goals, team goals. Something that I can hold myself accountable for.
How much is on there? Do you want to, and what can you share that's on that board?
I can share, like, I haven't had 1,000 yards since high school, so this year is the first time that I've had 1,000 yards.
Let's check that box.
I asked for 10 touchdowns. I wrote that on the board, and I got it.
Okay, check that.
I said that we got to make it to the NFC Championship this year. Last year we were a game short.
Okay.
So that's on there. Ready to check that one off. Win the Super Bowl, playing 10 years in the league at least. And, you know, taking down some more receiver records that's standing in the NFL.
Okay. Where is on that goals board, run down a grown ass man like Buda Baker on national television? Is that on that board, DK?
That's not necessarily a goal. It's just something I looked like I had to do. I mean, that's not a goal. I just had to do it in that moment. You know, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and those kinds of plays is what, you know, leads to that happening. So, I mean, that's just like Russ extending the play and then throwing a toe drag touchdown to Tyler Lockett in the back of the end zone. So, I mean, those plays are about equivalent to me.
So walk me through the moment where you saw Buda pick off Russ and go in the other direction. Walk me through that one, DK. I've been dying to ask you about this for about 2 months.
I mean, when I saw it, when he let the ball go, I saw Buda just floating in the air, letting the ball hit him in his chest. And then when his feet hit the ground and he started running, the only thing in my mind was go get him. And you know, I just ran.
That's it. Just simple. You just ran. And then you rein him down. It's that simple. Okay. I got to think about that for the 40-yard dash this year. It just keep it simple. Basically what you're telling me. Right, DK? Do you have any advice
on
that for me?
You can't never do too much when you're running.
Okay. Well, that's my problem. I try to do too much. But that's just who I am. That's how I'm wired. Yeah. And then, you know, even with a 6-7-yard head start, you run straight through me. But that's okay. It's not like I see it 50 million times a day every day on Twitter. And, I mean, your moment of running down Buda is a meme. What do you think of every single time you see that? You must see it. It's about 50 million a day. And Robert Griffin used the latest one about putting Brown's lead over Buda and over you, the words Lamar after pooping. Did you see that one, DK?
Yes, I saw that one. I'm kind of tired of him right now.
Oh, okay.
to be honest. But
all right.
Okay. I mean, it's just like the shirtless pick. I'm tired of seeing that one as well. But yeah, this the life I have, and I gotta, you know, just look at the positives about it, and you know, thank God it's nobody else. He put me in this position because he knew I can handle it. So, yeah, so I just thank him for the meeting.
All right. Well, in that regard, DK, I know we're just getting to meet here, and if you don't mind me just giving you a couple of piece of advice on this front, if you don't mind. If you look the way you look, you should never have a problem with a shirtless photograph being shown around. Like, my God, I would take literally 2 seconds of life to have that for me. Literally would take that. So on behalf of all other human beings and men, certainly of my age and my dad bod, God bless you. Just let it go. I would like every 2 seconds. So I hope you don't mind me saying, don't worry about that stuff. Okay, DK?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, seriously, do that. Now, I do have just a couple other questions for you, certainly from my kids, DK, because you are an inspiration to so many. And kids, I don't know if you're aware of this, kids just love, they just love watching you play. I mean, there's something about your way you go about it. Maybe it is your size, your body, your spirit. I don't know what it is. And also, my kids want to know, what's with the pacifier in your mouth as your mouth guard? Where did that one come from, DK?
So I know the owner of Battle Mouthpieces. I've been knowing him since I was in high school. And I was just shopping on his website one day, looking for mouthpieces to wear, and I saw the Binky. And I just decided to put it on the first game of the season, not thinking anything about it. And, kind of took off after the first game. I play aggressive. I play mean on the field, but, I got a Binky in my mouth. I'm young in the league, but I play like a grown man is what I like to say about the Binky.
Well, your Huggies have certainly dropped, that's for sure, in 2020. And then how do you decide your hair color? How do you decide that, DK? What's the process there?
This is very spontaneous. So whatever I'm thinking at that moment of the day, I do it probably every Friday, every Thursday, every other week. I know last week it was about to be lime green.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of the blue, I just said, yeah, let's do half blue, half purple. So, I mean, it just depends on how I feel that day.
So we don't know, like literally for Washington football team, which is one of the top defenses and certainly secondaries and is a major challenge for you coming up this weekend. You do not know right now as we're talking on a Thursday morning what your hair color is going to be this weekend. Correct? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It probably wants to be the same. I'm going to keep it the same this week.
All right.
Next week is going to be up in the air.
Okay. And then last one for you. What message should we give to any other defensive coordinators who have coordinated against Calvin Johnson? What should we tell them when they are playing against the Seattle Seahawks? What message should we tell them, DK?
Stop comparing me to people. I'm me. And playing against me. Don't play against anybody else.
Beware of dogs.
I was thinking you asked me what made me tick.
Yes, sir.
And that's one thing that does make me tick.
What is
compared to people.
Why? I mean, what if they're all time greats like Calvin? You just that's still not good enough?
Calvin is Calvin. I'm me. It's a blessing to be compared to him. I take the compliment with a grain of salt, and I just keep pushing. But I'm me, and I'm trying to pave my own way and be my own great. I'm not trying to be like anybody else.
Well, DK, it has been a pleasure to watch your ascendancy, and I cannot wait to see just how high this ceiling is. I hope this is the first of many times that we get to chat here on the show. It has been an absolute delight watching you play, and then again. I'm going to start taking the approach that you have about sick and tired of seeing you shirtless on Twitter. I'm sick and tired of people sending me memes of you running through me, DK. Okay, I guess we have that in common. Okay.
Yes, sir.
You take care of yourself, DK Metcalf. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat down the road.
All right, yes, sir. Let's race again sometime.
Okay.
Whoa, hey.
I mean, are you serious? Like, literally, for charity, would you do that, DK?
Oh, yeah, I would do it. Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Let's.
But we gotta race shirtless, though.
Deal. What deal?
You said you don't want to do that.
Come on,
wait
Rich.
A minute.
Come on.
Come on. Hey,
you said for charity, though.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, you go get ready for the Washington football team. I'm going to do about 1,000 push-ups. Okay? Let's do that in the interim.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later.
Right back at you. That's DK Metcalf.
That's amazing.
At DKM14. Trying to get like you, Rich. Still got a long way to go. I said that he's a beast. That was after he ran down Buda Baker. Oof. Doesn't want to see the memes anymore. No more memes.
And the shirtless pick.
And the shirtless pick doesn't want to. Come on. No.
I mean,
if I looked like that,
I'd never wear a shirt.
Never, ever wear never. A shirt.
But I guess
like
if you are like that, it's just you get tired of people remarking how you look like that.
Dude, his abs.
That's
have
AJ
abs.
Brown, by the way, to his left that we keep showing. That's AJ Brown, his teammate from Ole Miss, right. Who's balling out for the Tennessee yeah. Titans.
You know, Rich, they had a similar response because on Twitter earlier this week, somebody compared AJ to T.O.
Oh.
And AJ's response was,
man.
AJ is AJ. DK's response was, stop comparing me to other people on me. So those two guys have a similar mindset, it seems.
If yeah, what man. Makes him tick is, don't compare me to other people. And, hey, you remind me of Megatron. Like, here's the two ways. Here's the way that Jim Schwartz probably said it to him, okay?
I mean, we know how he said it.
No. This is the way he probably said it to him. Like, hey, you know, I coached Megatron in Detroit. And, you know, there's still a long way for you to go for his, you know, for you there, but you look just like him. I mean, you're in the same way that you don't tell someone you're a Hall of Famer. They don't want to hear that, right?
Right.
You can't just say you're a Hall of Famer. They don't want to hear that. So he probably says, you know, I coach Megatron, and seeing you here is, you know, amazing. And you're doing stuff that I saw Megatron do. And you still got a way to go for, you know, for his career. But, man, you're on the path, and good luck to you.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very
easy. And he's hearing, like, Charlie Brown's teacher, like, wah, 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 Megatron. Wah, 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 wah. And get out! I'm going to go off on you and Darius Slay, who you got specifically for people like me, and I'm not like anybody else. Wah, 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 wah. That's what it is. So, Jack Del Rio, do not approach. Beware of dog. Megatron. Yes, that's what he's hearing. That's what he's hearing. Right? Like, that's what he basically just said. You just.
Yeah,
by the way, when you're interviewing somebody, and see, again, this is. When you're interviewing somebody and, you know, you ask him what makes you tick, and he's just like, you know, I didn't know I wanted, you know, I was supposed to get introspective in this conversation, or I'm not in the mood to get introspective, which, you know, I totally understand. He's probably coming out of a, you know,
he just got done squatting
meeting.
Like
he's
600.
Got another meeting. Yeah. He just did 645, and it's not six plates of 45.
Literally 645 pounds.
By the way, I love having this amount of runway after an interview to just break it down, yeah. Especially since we've been cultivating this camper for weeks, months.
We love this guy.
Right. So,
yeah, he just
and
did,
here
he
I am trying to get introspective.
Like,
and he's like, I don't know what makes me tick. So now it's my job as an interviewer to come up with ways to have him describe what makes him tick. He's got a grease board. In a grease board in his home that has goals that are going to be up on that board for, as he said, would he play 10 years in the league, right? Right? Or that the uniform, he's going to be the last to wear 14. And you got on. You just wrote on your grease board. What did you just write right there?
Get swole like DK. That's a 2025
so
goal.
So you're giving yourself four years and two weeks.
This is not even going to be enough time, to be honest with you. But, yeah.
So
you could do it if you wanted.
What do you think?
Could I get swole like DK? Or?
No. Oh. No, but the fact that he's got a grease board where there are items on there that will take a long time to put a check mark next to, like nobody's ever wearing these uniforms again. How about Bobby Wagner? Come here, young squire. Sit down right next to me. Take Come a seat next to me on the bench. Let's stare at the field together. That guy's wearing Earl Thomas's number. Earl's a great, but somebody's wearing his number. Cam Chancellor, he's a great here. We'll be talking about Legion of Boom forever here, but somebody's wearing his number. Nobody's ever wearing my 54. Oof. And he's sitting there, DK Metcalf, nodding his head, saying, yeah, no one's wearing 14 after I'm done. It's tough to beat teams like that when you got people like Bobby Wagner knowing how to stoke the fire. And then somebody's wired in a way where a defensive coordinator for the other team can stoke the fire just by, in his mind, paying a compliment.
Second round. He went in the second round, folks.
Yeah, like the Brady 6 is going to be, it's the DK 8, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, man. And you could say we're making too much of it. I don't think so here. I think you're seeing a star. This is a legit star is born. Legit. And Pete knows how to stoke the flame, too. And Russ knows how to stoke the flame, too, and feed this beast. And they know how to handle DK Metcalf. They got him. They drafted him. Pete took his shirt off. Everybody's taking their shirts off.
Well, you're going to race him without a shirt. So get ready.
If I have to race DK Metcalf shirtless in late February, I needed to stop eating carbs and simple sugars like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Still time.
Why are we showing this again, Don? I don't understand. There I am with a 10-yard head start, and here comes DK right straight through.
Jeez.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
4.33.40.
Can't teach speed.
When he ran that 2 years ago, again, you know, Daniel Jeremiah sits to my right. He was the one who was saying all weekend long, when we arrive in the Combine City, we sit down, we have a meeting with the NFL Network crew, and, you know, Mayock started this years ago. And we would just sit there and listen to Mike, okay, as the crew, to find out what's on his mind and what we should be focused on and what the crew had already prepared and whether the crew needs to prepare something in addition to what they've already prepared. And they, like, the crew compares notes with Mayock and Mayock with them and so on and so forth. So we would, after Mayock left, did it with Daniel Jeremiah. And so Daniel mentioned that there was going to be some wide receivers that are just rocked up. And he mentioned A.J. Brown, and he mentioned D.K. Metcalf. He goes, the guys from Ole Miss are out of this world. And he goes, D.K. Metcalf in particular, it looks like he's got a bat suit on. He called him the human bat suit. And so D.K. steps up there. He runs that 40 at 4.33. And I, you know, call the action, if you will, and I turn to my right. And Daniel Jeremiah is looking back at me with a big Cheshire grin, just nodding his head like, yep, told you. And I guess the neck injury that DK was referencing there that knocked him out of the end of his sophomore year. He was 3 years removed from high school, so he was draft eligible.
Right.
So a lot of people were wondering, okay, so instead of you going back to Ole Miss and playing another year, and showing us what you can do without the neck injury, like proving at Ole Miss that you're worthy of drafting after the neck injury, as opposed to just throwing it at us right here. I guess that's what scared all those teams off, including the New England Patriots, took N'Keal Harry instead of him. So when he shows up in a spot that shows Arthego Whiteside out of Stanford instead of him, and the defensive coordinator comes up to him and pays him a compliment, and he's saying, don't compare me to other people, look out. Now, the Washington football team's got a very good secondary, and they're probably listening to stuff like this and saying, okay, got it. That's a good game this weekend. That's a very, very good game.
Sneaky.
Washington football team can get to 500, 7-7. All this talk about a losing record going to win the NFC East. Washington football team wins this game. They're home for Carolina and at Philadelphia. They could just take this thing starting this weekend. Man, that Washington football team. Going for two. Riverboat Ron went for two against the Giants. That's one. But they're on a roll. Can you put their schedule up, Don? Can you find that? And then we'll go to break. Washington football team schedule from here on out. Home for Seattle, home for Carolina, at Philadelphia. Coming off that win against Cincinnati, then winning in Thanksgiving Day in Dallas. That's four straight W's in a row. How did they lose at Detroit? How the hell did that happen? I mean, Alex Smith was just beginning to get it. His legs totally under him, right? Four in a row. Here we go.
Gosh.
What a story. What a story.
What a season.
Comeback player of the year, maybe coach of the year, and defensive rookie of the year. We can, with all due respect to Jeremy Chinn in Carolina, Chase Young's running him down. We would show the meme of how he's chasing him down, but DK Metcalf, but DK doesn't like that anymore.
Shut the door on that, man.
Bad idea for me then to call you up yesterday and say, hey, you know, we want to post the show lineup. Can you come up with a meme where put all other shows on Buda Baker and Rich Eisen show on DK Metcalf just to have fun?
That was funny. It came out great.
Yeah, it was great. But in our defense, we didn't know he didn't want that anymore.
Now
yeah,
we
that's
do.
True. Now we know.
So no
now
more of that.
I can't. We can't say we're not going to make any more of them, can we?
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll get you set for the rest of our show. Rich Gannon's going to be dynamite later on. Richard Jefferson, two Riches still to come on the Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Browns Giants Sunday Night Football on NBC. Browns coming off of the game of the year, although losing to the Baltimore Ravens, who take on the Giants after the Giants take on the Browns. New York coming off of its awful, terrible performance against the Arizona Cardinals, trying to bounce back. And the news out of New Jersey yesterday, gents, is that our one of the great people in the NFL and Jason Garrett is on COVID-19 list right now.
Yeah, I saw that. See, he's calling plays.
Is it Joe Judge?
Freddie Kitchens.
I didn't know that he's on that staff.
Yeah, I think he's the QB coach. Or
I'll tell you what, man. When Kitchens was just dialing up as the OC and wasn't the HC, it kind of worked out for Baker.
Kind of.
See what happens with Daniel Jones.
If he even goes.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we were just, for our radio audience, showing the promo of Sunday Night Football, Browns and Giants. So Jason Garrett, calling plays as the OC for the Giants this year, has got COVID, it appears, or is on the list, and we hope he's okay. So you're saying Freddie Kitchens is the play caller if Garrett can't?
Yep.
And if Daniel Jones can't go, it's Colt McCoy. So it's the revenge of all the Browns. Let's get them all together. Let's hit them all like, you know, the five families at the end of The Godfather, right?
Yeah.
And get them all. And, you know, maybe the Giants should get Spurgeon Wynn to just stare them down
I was going through the list yesterday.
We had the list, right? Just get them all. Brady Quinn. They should put messages up on the board. Freddie Kitchens is going to dial it up for Colt McCoy to beat the Browns. Yeah. 2020 is off the hook.
Got Kelly Holcomb and Charlie Fry.
Oh, Kelly Holcomb, I believe, started the playoff game yep. for Butch Davis's Browns. Yeah.
Don't forget about right? Thad Lewis, guys.
Thad.
Connor Shaw.
Lewis.
Austin Davis.
Seneca Wallace is on that list. Let's get Seneca Wallace to New Jersey. Let's get them all COVID tested through the protocol so they just can spook the Browns. Stare at them.
Can bring back Delhomie. Jake Delhomme?
Hold on a second. Jake Delhomme started games for the Browns in that era?
Started four games in 2010.
Get out of here.
I mean, this list is crazy. Bruce Gradkowski?
Well, we know Bruce Gradkowski, yeah. Sure.
Ken Dorsey started three games back in 08.
Colt McCoy could be performing at quarterback with Freddie Kitchens dialing the plays against the Browns on Sunday Night Football for the New York Giants. That is what you're saying right now as we're sitting here on a Thursday. Entirely possible.
Luke McCown.
Uh-huh. Luke McCown.
And then Josh McCown in 2015. Luke McCown in 04.
And all the...
Doug Peterson, by the way.
Doug Peterson?
Peterson.
Started eight games in 2000.
For the reconstituted Browns, Doug Peterson?
Yeah.
Peterson.
Ty Detmer.
Who could forget Ty Detmer? Everybody.
Him and Tim Couch that year.
Tim Couch was the first one.
Yeah. Tim Couch started a lot of games for the early Browns. Jason Campbell? I'm sure he's not doing anything.
Jason Campbell had some nice run for Washington.
Yeah.
He had some nice run.
Brandon Whedon, of course, can't forget him.
You know,
is that everybody? Well, Kevin Hogan. He's still around, right?
Hogan?
I don't think so.
He started one game in 2017 when DeShone Kizer got hurt.
And now Baker Mayfield takes the Browns into New Jersey to take on the Giants, fresh off of that wonderfully entertaining football game. They should beat the Giants.
They should beat the Giants.
And you know who will be missing in this game? How great would it have been for Odell to be playing in this game?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How great would it be for Odell to be playing this game? And I honestly do not want to hear that the Browns would not be 9-4 if Odell was here.
Yeah, how does he not make the team better?
I know that somebody of his caliber demands the football and the quarterback might force it in there, but I don't want to hear it. Would the Browns really be 7-6 instead of 9-4 right now? Like Odell would have lost them two games? Really? Odell in this game on Sunday Night Football, which is, you know, in that building, which is where his legend was born when he one-handed grabbed against the Dallas Cowboys in front of Alan Chris.
That's, who won that game?
Did you guys win that game?
Yeah, we won that.
All right.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
won my fantasy.
Greatest catch ever.
Won my fantasy because I picked up Odell off of waivers.
What?
If you recall, his rookie season, he had a hamstring injury. He didn't start.
Until, he didn't start the first four weeks for them, right?
Mm-mm. He went undrafted. Or he got drafted and somebody just said, I can't wait around. I have no idea what this guy's going to do. This kid from LSU. Picked him up. Oh, man.
That's awesome. Good work.
First 2 years of his career, it was such a delight to have him in fantasy. He was like DK. I had to have him.
Yeah, he was that guy.
Oh, man, I'll miss him on this. He would be great for this game. Absolutely great for this game.
Is he on the Browns next year?
I think so. Why wouldn't he be? Is there something we don't know about? Is he messing with their travel plans, telling the Browns we got to stay overnight here because I want to party? Is he pulling a Harden? Is that what's going on here?
It doesn't seem like he fits with the way they're running the offense.
Let me just say this. If they are going to bash you with Nick Chubb and then bash you with Kareem Hunt and then you play fake to Chubb, you don't think there's a possibility of whoever might be covering Odell bites on a double move because he's staring in the backfield? Come on now. You want to have somebody take the top of a defense off? I mean, come on now. That's your guy. I honestly, all the stuff that you hear about, you know, is he a locker room issue or whatever, or is he not running the routes properly? I mean, there's all sorts of chatter. I can't believe that anybody would say 8-5, you know? Like that game against Tennessee, they wouldn't have done that because if Odell was there taking up too much of Baker's, you know, attention and mindset. Yeah, that Cleveland four-game win streak that they had, you know, that game they beat Philly in Philly, that would have been a loss because they know Odell. Like, honestly, I can't, you know, the idea that they're a better team without him, that means you've got to point to me games that they wouldn't have won because Odell was there, which is obviously a tough thing to be able to say. Yeah.
Odell's first 3 years, dynamite, like all world stuff. 95 average, 95 catches, 1,350 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Him and Josh Norman going at it was just off the rails, man. That was crazy. It was crazy town. And Coughlin standing on the sidelines, Mr., you know, discipline, just staring and probably wondering what the hell's happening. He's yelling at goal, you know, and at kicking nets and all that sort of stuff. New York just ate it up, and then they spit him out.
And to add to your point, Rich, it's not like Odell was getting targeted an unusual amount of times.
Right.
He only was targeted over eight times, three times in seven games.
And so, I'll tell you, just on the flip side, I know I'm biased, but Jabril Peppers has been balling out for the Giants.
Yeah. You are biased a little.
I am biased. I think he's dynamite. And, you know, he's a kid from Jersey, so it's probably very big for him to be able to ball out for the Giants. But So it's going to be interesting. And you got Olivier Vernon coming into this game. There's a lot of interesting Browns-Giants ties here that would have been off the charts if Odell was active for this football game, man. Have we come up with our poll question? Have we workshopped it in any way, shape, or form? It's Bill Pullman's birthday today,
right? Yes, it's Bill Pullman's birthday. So let's just do the hits here. So let's go best movie president.
Yes.
Bill Pullman, Michael Douglas, Harrison Ford, Morgan Freeman.
Are we forgetting any classics? Any, like, classics here?
Well, Twitter will definitely let us know.
Huh. Trying to remember.
And then I got a football question. Who's facing the biggest must win this weekend? Raiders, Dolphins, Giants, Vikings.
I don't know about that. I mean, the Bears, it's a must win for the Bears, too. You know what I mean?
No one thinks the Bears are making the playoffs.
Who says no one thinks the Bears are making the playoffs? The Bears win this game. It's 7-7. That's a must win
for
them.
Same thing with the Vikings, though. They're playing each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sold on it. You can do it if you wish.
All right.
Go ahead and do it.
I mean, I'm going to do it. I was just kind of running it by you.
Pay no mind list over here.
Get a slow yes instead of a quick
again.
No. Is that what you're saying?
How many times can I be on the pay no mind list on my own show?
We're up to like 13 now.
Oh, Mike, you missed it. You missed it when we had Austin Eckler the other day. You know, and I told him, hey, you know, you weren't invited to the combine. Did you send DVDs around to try and get at the combine? He started laughing. And I thought he's laughing like, you know, maybe he did do it. And he goes, no, DVDs. Like that. Like making fun of me saying DVDs. And then we find out TJ Jefferson, do you know he's got a cassette deck and CD in his car?
Yeah, we talk about it.
He hears me getting run over by Austin Eckler, and he's worse than me, and he doesn't even come and say, hey, Austin, I'm cool, and I've got, you know, this in my car. He just sits there.
I don't like to talk when you're on the phone with a phone guest.
I don't want to interrupt. You know, I understand that. I understand that.
You have a cassette stuck in the cassette deck, too, right?
We don't have to bring up everything, man. All right.
So which cassette do you have? What's stuck in there?
Right now, it is the soundtrack to, I want to say, Boys in the Hood.
I mean, it's not a bad soundtrack.
Wow. And it was fresh. It was fresh out of the cellophane when it got stuck in there. Richard Jefferson, hour two, coming up.
I forgot you told me that, TJ.
Remember, cassette tapes used to come in cellophane. You had to open it up.
Oh, man.
And it was new, and you'd just open up the cassette tape, and you'd put it in.
Every Tuesday.
When I worked at the record store, we'd have to lock the cassettes because they were like the number one stolen item. And remember, the CDs came in those boxes?
Did you work at like a Tower Records or something?
No, Alwick Records in the Livingston Mall. I was the head of the 12-inch DJ section. So the DJs would come in and buy records from me. It was classic. I had a blast. Because I used to get all my records free, and then it was like I play music all day. It's the greatest gig in the world.
How does one become the head of the 12-inch DJ section?
Well, you're a DJ, and you kind of get appointed by the manager to be the guy. I mean, it was like...
Was there like a 6-inch DJ section?
Or? No, 12-inch singles. 12-inch singles. You know, come on, Rich. 12-inch records. He's killing me.
I'll say this.
No, don't even go.
He was the 12-inch DJ... manager.
What does that
mean? Long before he was doing
pump jump.
I mean, you guys with it. That You guys don't understand.
just name your boat Two Pump Chump. Just do it.
Why don't you name your baby Two Pump Chump?
Because he already has a name.
Yeah, the baby's already got a name, Mike.
Hey, that guy, oh, I mean, seriously. Yeah, I mean,
I'm already doing my abs to run against DK. That's making me laugh so hard.
You guys are
going to
get the Two Pump Chump. This pump.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.